This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour number two underway here on Sports Daily. Tommy Gester, Max Power producing the program here on this rainy Thursday morning in Wichita. The KFH hotline is open at 869-1240. You can join the show that way. You can also leave your comments on our video stream. You can do that on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. We're also simulcasting on the 12 News Connected app. You can leave your comments there on the screen. We'll get to them as the show goes on. You can also leave us your voice messages on the free Odyssey app. Click the microphone button, leave your message, and we'll get to that as the show rolls on today. Our big thanks to Crestview Country Club, a proud supporter of the program. We love being partnered with Crestview. And, you know, there's been quite a bit of rain over the last few days. Not great golfing weather. Yesterday would have been a good day to golf, at least earlier in the day. But other than that, it's been a lot of rain. So I know they're getting ready for the Wichita Open in just a couple of weeks, and the course should be greened up and in great shape in time for that. We're setting up for a beautiful weekend, by the way, here in Wichita, which it's been a while since we've had that. It's been kind of a wet and rainy week. We've needed the rain here in this area, but it should be a really great weekend to kick off Wichita River Festival. The parade is tomorrow night. I will be judging the parade in downtown Wichita. KFH and all of our Odyssey stations will be a part of that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm certified to be a parade float judger. Nice. So I'll be doing that tomorrow.
In my younger days, I was a tan line judge.
I'm sure you were.
Are you going to see Everclear? Everclear is playing Friday night.
They're kicking off Riverfest. They've got the first night, and then Flo Rida. Are you a Flo Rida fan, Max?
God, no.
He will be performing on Saturday.
Oh, that's
night.
A he? I thought it was a she.
No, it's a he. You need to.
I don't pay attention to no talent.
You got to jump into today's pop music.
No, God, no.
And then that way you'll know Flo Rida. It's going to be a fun weekend and a fun week ahead for the River Festival. And it always seems like, you know, of course, it's kind of the kickoff to summertime in Wichita. But there will probably be a couple of days of rain because usually that happens with River Fest. Fingers crossed it doesn't. But usually there's at least a little bit of rain. But by and large, it should be a really beautiful weekend and week here in Wichita as we kick off River Festival tomorrow here in town. So we got to talk about this briefly, Max, because I know you are our NHL expert. The Florida Panthers return to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, Hurricanes wasted their time winning a game.
Third year in a row, right, for the Panthers in the Stanley Cup Finals? They won last year so they could repeat. I mean, we talk all the time, at least in the context of the NBA, about dynasties and how there hasn't been a dynasty in the NBA since the Warriors 10 years ago, whenever that was. From an NHL perspective, I mean, the Panthers are doing as close to a dynasty as you can possibly get, right? I mean, 3 years in a row going to the Stanley Cup Finals, like that's Chiefs territory.
There's a team called Montreal that's the only NHL dynasty there is.
I mean, when was the last time you had a team
that repeated
number one?
It must have been Detroit.
That has been in the finals 3 years in a row. I can't imagine it's been all that recently, right? I mean, what the Panthers are doing probably hasn't been duplicated in a long time.
No, then they're loaded and they're scrappy. But if Edmonton gets there, that will be a 7-game Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I like Edmonton in that series.
Edmonton,
against them.
Do you really? So you would take Edmonton in the finals?
Because of Connor McDavid and Draisaitl.
I mean, with what the Panthers have done thus far. And I was reading about this, you know, before we came on. Regardless if it's going to be Edmonton or Dallas, more than likely Edmonton at this point, Florida is going to start the series on the road, but they're great on the road.
Yeah.
Like, they've won a bunch of games in a row.
Florida, they don't care in the 3 years I've seen, because they don't care where they play.
Yeah. Have they turned into, and I know we just talked dynasty with them a little bit, are they the villains of the NHL? Like, because I know a lot of people don't like them. A lot of people don't like the way that they play. You called them scrappy.
They are.
But a lot of people, I think they're easy. From what I know, my limited knowledge, they're pretty easy to cheer against. They're pretty easy to boo. They're pretty easy to hate.
Yeah, that's because, and they added Brad Marchand. Yeah, they'll get under your skin. They're players that you hate, but you love if they play for you. Tkachuk and
yeah.
Bennett, yeah.
Yeah. They're gritty. They're scrappy was the word that you used. Yeah. And they find their way to their third straight Stanley Cup finals. They've got an opportunity to repeat. And I know you like Edmonton. And by all accounts, Edmonton will be in the finals. I can't imagine that Dallas can come back down, you know, can come back 3-1 down. I have a hard time believing that. So more than likely, we're going to see Edmonton and we're going to see Florida. I know you like Edmonton in the series. I just have a hard time thinking that Florida is going to give up that Stanley Cup.
Because of Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, those two. Yeah, I see Edmonton winning in seven for that. If it's Edmonton, Florida,
I think we're on a collision course to having what could be an epic series. Because I don't disagree with you as far as the number of games. I would not be surprised if it did go to seven. Because I do think both of these teams are relatively evenly matched. I think that with the experience that Florida has in this position, but then compare that to the talent, just the sheer talent of guys like Connor McDavid and others with Edmonton, I think it's going to be just an epic series. I wouldn't be shocked if it went to seven, but I can't. How can you bet against the defending champions? I don't think I can do that.
Yeah, it's just something. Canada's overdue. I said that about Toronto, but
yeah,
with McDavid and Draisaitl, they can carry him. They've carried him against. They were all played by Dallas, but
yeah,
they couldn't get it by the goalie and McDavid, and they just carried him. So
yeah, I mean Florida,
I wouldn't be surprised if Florida won in seven either.
Totally, and we've got to get to the Stanley Cup Finals first in Game 5. Of the series with Edmonton and Dallas is tonight. And, you know, it's so difficult to come back when you're down 3-1. I can't imagine Dallas will be able to do that. Maybe they can scratch out one more game. But
the hardest trophy to win, they play every other night.
That's a very good point. And, you know, I do think that we're going to be seeing, obviously, Florida for sure, and then Edmonton in what could be a pretty epic Stanley Cup Finals. That's in on the headlines today. Obviously, back to the NBA. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they punched their ticket to the NBA Finals. The Pacers are knocking on the doorstep. They lead 3-1 against the Knicks. We could be, again, on pace for an NBA Finals with two teams that usually are not represented in the NBA Finals, with Oklahoma City and Indiana. Two smaller market teams, but two teams that they do it in a different way. It's not a super team. Oklahoma City built their roster from the ground up. They went through tons of really bad and lean years to get back to this point. And then Indiana, they did it the exact same way, and they've got really experienced coaching. I know it's a little bit presumptive to go ahead and say it's going to be Oklahoma City and Indiana in the finals. More than likely it will be. I'm really excited about this NBA Finals. And this is coming, by the way, from a guy. I'm a self-proclaimed NBA hater. I don't love the NBA. I don't follow it religiously until playoff time, and I'll start to dabble in it more and more and more. I got to tell you, if it ends up being OKC in Indiana, I'm going to be locked in. I'm really excited about this potential NBA Finals matchup.
You could travel either way to see a game.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to drive to Indiana, but I could maybe go to Oklahoma City. You know, it's because of the way that these two teams are made up, and because of the players, the talent, and go,
hey, let's go play here.
Right. 100%. Like, that gets me excited about the potential of this series. Nothing against the New York Knicks. They've been a fun story. I know you don't like the Knicks.
I don't like anything from New York.
I know you're a Boston guy. I know you don't like the Knicks at all. But, you know, that's been a fun story because it had been so long since they'd even gotten to this point. Been a nice story to see what they've been able to do. They've been outmatched by Indiana. I think Indiana will put them away in game five tonight. They did have a good run.
They came back from 20 twice against the Celtics, and they came back from 20 against Indiana in game three.
Yeah. I mean, look, like, I think with the guys on that roster, including obviously, you know, Jalen Brunson and others, like, they could be a player in the years to come. I do think that they could be. It's not going to happen this year. I think Indiana will obviously, in my opinion, get it done. I don't think there's any way the Knicks are able to come back down, you know, from three games to one. And so again, on a collision course, Thunder and Pacers in the NBA Finals, I'm excited for it. If that ends up being the matchup, and for somebody again that doesn't get locked into the NBA, I will absolutely be locked into a Thunder Pacers NBA Finals. I love Rick Carlisle. I think he's a wonderful coach. And watching him potentially game plan and scheme up against what the Thunder want to do, I mean, it could be a coaching masterclass.
I go back so far, I remember when Rick Carlisle had hair.
It's been a while since he's had hair, right? Yeah. He's a great coach, and he's one of the longer tenured coaches in the NBA. That's going to be a lot of fun, assuming that Indiana can get it done tonight.
And if it ends tonight, it doesn't start till the 5th of June.
Yeah, we've got a ways to go. We can speculate about what will happen in the finals once Indiana closes it out. That game five is tonight against the Knicks. We're going to step aside for a timeout. On the other side, we'll continue with Sports Daily. Don't forget Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, going to be joining us a little bit later on this hour, so stick around. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
A big thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee, being a proud supporter of Sports Daily, keeping us caffeinated and fueled up here each and every morning on Sports Daily. Max, you and I were talking about this during the break. So in the last segment, I mentioned that we're kicking off Wichita River Festival tomorrow. Got the Sundown Parade. I will be judging the parade. You wanted to know what the criteria was to be judging.
How does one judge these floats?
That's a great question. It takes a very specific kind of skill to be able to judge a float. I did it last year, so I'm trying to remember what all the different criteria was. I want to say it was like creativeness in the float. Some of it was like the performance, because, you know, some people just walk and they wave, right? Like, very simple. They walk and they wave. Other people have like dance routines that they do, or they're acting out something on their float. So like, you have to judge that as well.
You're going to be moving up. You'll be doing the Macy's parade and then the Rose Bowl parade.
You know what? Like, that's my goal. That's
we'll
my
know ultimate. Him.
Yeah. I'm trying to climb that ladder.
It's Tommy Caster.
I'm trying to climb that ladder of parade judges. Apparently, there's a whole parade judging circuit out
there, right,
that I'm trying to get onto. No, I don't even know if that's the truth or not. But there are a lot of really creative floats, and there are organizations all around the city that spend so much time in putting together their Riverfest float. And I am not, I don't know about you, I am not crafty, like whatsoever. No. I'm not good at arts and crafts. I'm not good at building things. I'm not good at drawing things. Like, that is not a strong suit of mine. So why I am qualified to judge other people's ability at that, I have no idea. But that's what I'll be doing tomorrow night. I'm not good at that sort of thing at all. If you asked me to, like, hey, let's put together a float, I would not. I would be no help.
You'd take a scoop of ice cream and throw it in some root beer.
That kind of float. That kind of float I'm a big fan of. Here's a quick story on a side note about how terrible I am at anything arts and crafts, anything art related at all. So a couple of weeks ago, my four-year-old, we had an event at his preschool where the parents got to go to the preschool. They got to hang out with the kids on the playground, and the kids were playing on the playground, and the kids got popsicles, and they had all these fun games, and the parents got to hang out. So they had sidewalk chalk there. And my son came up to me and he was like, you know, Daddy, like, let's do sidewalk chalk together. I'm like, okay, that sounds great. So we grab the sidewalk chalk, and he goes, Daddy, I want you to draw me a bulldozer in sidewalk chalk. And the first thought in my mind was, I have no idea how the hell to draw a bulldozer with sidewalk chalk. So, you know, I do my best. I try to draw a bulldozer. And that kid, my son, is so mad at me. He's like, Daddy, that is not a bulldozer. What are you doing? And I'm like, buddy, I did the best I could. Yeah. I have no idea what I'm doing.
He sees you as a cartoonist that you're not.
It looked like a covered wagon. My bulldozer looked like a covered wagon. I am not artistic whatsoever. And my four-year-old called me out on it. He was like, Daddy, that. So he went and he got my wife. So my wife, who is much more artsy than I am, goes and actually draws a bulldozer in sidewalk chalk. And he was very happy about that. But long story short, I'm judging the River Festival parade tomorrow night. So hope to see a lot of people down there for River Festival. I saw the forecast. It's supposed to be gorgeous tomorrow night. We get all the rain out of the way just in time for the opening weekend of River Fest. You've got the sundown parade. You've got the opening night concert. And then I forgot to mention entirely the fireworks spectacular tomorrow night. The cool thing about that is that all you have to do is turn on our sister station, 103.7 KYN, tomorrow night, and we are simulcasting the music from the fireworks. So if you're in your car and you want to watch the fireworks, all you have to do is have KYN on. You'll be able to hear the music as it is synchronized up with the fireworks, and that's a lot of fun. We've done that for a number of years now, and we're excited to continue that on. So a really fun weekend in store for Wichita with great weather with the River Festival. So really looking forward to all of that. All right, in our very next segment, just a quick programming note, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, will be joining us. A lot to get to with Fitz. We'll talk about PJ Haggerty and how he is now a member of the Wildcats and what that looks like for Jerome Tang and his squad. Definitely fills a scoring need for the Wildcats. We'll talk to him about that in our next segment. Also, all of the drama, all of the news about the college football playoff and the SEC and what they want and everything that's going to happen there. We'll get into that with Fitz in the next segment as well. I don't know, Max, if you have been following much of that. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, has basically solidified himself as public enemy number one. Like, and that, you know what, his job is to represent the interest of the SEC. And he basically, I mean, he's doing that. Number one, he is fulfilling his job responsibilities without a doubt. But in doing so, I mean, he is not making any friends outside of the conference. He's been very open and very public about, you know, how the SEC should be treated in the college football playoff, the new format and the new seating and the expansion in a couple of years and what that's going to look like. One of the quotes, and I'm going to get Fitz's take on this in our next segment. One of his quotes, I mean, he said the quiet part out loud the other day. He flat out said that he's got people in his ear that are affiliated with the SEC who are asking him, why are we even part of the NCAA? And I know that a lot of this is leverage. I know that a lot of this is positioning.
Well, where can they go?
Well, they could just do their own thing. You know, they could break away entirely from the NCAA, maybe with the Big Ten. I think that's a mistake. Jacob and I talked about that, I believe, on yesterday's show, how big of a mistake that would be for the game as a whole, for the popularity of college football as a whole across the country, if you regionalize it. But man, the fact that Greg Sankey is saying the quiet part out loud and is on record publicly saying, I've got people that want to know why we're even still in the NCAA. I know a lot of it is just him being brash, and I don't think it's actually going to happen.
That's like a state seceding from the union.
He's got
money loss, and they how would they support it?
I'll be the first to say I don't like the SEC. I don't particularly care for Greg Sankey, but I've got to give him, I guess, a little bit of credit. He's got some big old stones to be able to publicly and loudly say, I've got people in my ear that want to know why we are even part of the NCAA. He doesn't feel like the SEC is being treated fairly, even though, hint, hint, they're getting more than any other conferences in this new seating. They're getting preferential treatment left and right. He's going to continue to fight for everything, to basically have the SEC get everything that they could absolutely ever want.
Really?
I mean, that's what he's doing. Right? I mean,
so you got the Big Ten. The Big Ten will want theirs, the Pac 12, or however many you're in
the Pac 2.
Yeah. changed so much, I can't even keep track of who's in what anymore.
Is there a scenario, is there a world in which the SEC and the Big Ten together decide that, you know what, we're done with this? We can self-govern ourselves, we can do our own national quote-unquote championship or regional championship, or it's, you know, the champion of the SEC versus the champion of the Big Ten, and then we'll crown our own champion every single year. Could they do that? Absolutely they could.
So that'd be Alabama, Ohio State. They got
every year.
They have to get Notre Dame in right there somehow.
Yeah, like every year, that would just be probably the matchup.
Penn State.
Georgia would probably get in there, and you know, Michigan,
Miami.
Depending on, yeah. Look, do they have the resources to pull something like that off? 100% they do. It is not for a lack of resources that they don't do this. It is simply for the preservation of a national model of college football. That's why they don't pull the trigger at this. That's the nuclear option. This is not unlike a president of the United States threatening nukes, right? Like, don't make me push that button. This is the SEC throwing their weight around. What I think is interesting, by the way, is that Greg Sankey and the SEC have been the vocal proponents of this sort of thing. Like, they are the ones that are giving the interviews and saying things like this. I guarantee you the Big Ten feels the exact same way, because they've got power too. They've got probably just as much power as the SEC does, maybe slightly less, but it's the two of them and then everybody else. But they're not the ones on record. They're not the ones publicly saying that. I think that's really smart of the Big Ten. Let the SEC be the villain. Let them be the ones that are making all the waves and making all the noise. And then the Big Ten can be the beneficiaries of a new format in the college football playoffs.
But with the NIL and all the money the kids want, it could collapse itself if they leave it all, because you're paying kids $10 million to go to college.
I don't disagree with the sentiment of Greg Sankey saying, why are we part of the NCAA? What does the NCAA even do for us? Like, they're our governing body. They enforce things. But I'm not a fan of the NCAA. I think the NCAA, and I've been on record saying this, I think they are irrelevant. I think they are ineffective. I think they are antiquated. I think that the only thing they do a good job at is lobbying politicians and digging their heels into the ground. Like, I think that's the only things that the NCAA is good at are those things. So even though I don't like the SEC and I don't like Greg Sankey, I don't disagree with that sentiment. What does the NCAA do for us? Why should we even be a part of this entity anymore? And do they have the wherewithal and the resources to be able to do their own thing? Absolutely they do. The SEC is not short on money. They have the resources to do it.
They get all the major colleges to break away from the NCAA.
I mean, maybe. You know, maybe. But I'm sure that the SEC is thinking, man, we don't even need the Big 12. We don't even need the ACC. We don't need any of the schools on the West Coast outside of the ones that are in the Big Ten. We need us and we need the Big Ten. We can go out there and we've got the largest most popular, for the most part, college football programs in America. So we can go out there and we can do our own thing. And sure, from a logistical standpoint, they can absolutely get it done. From a money standpoint, a resources standpoint, they can absolutely get it done. On top of that, I promise you, and I said this the other day, I promise you that the networks, whether we're talking ESPN, Fox, there might be other players in there, streaming services, Netflix is getting in to football, Prime Video, yeah. All these different streaming services are doing it now. I guarantee you that, let's just say hypothetically, there was an SEC versus Big Ten championship game every single year, and they were completely separate from the NCAA, completely separate from the CFP. There would be a network that would pick that up that would pay a tremendous amount of money for that. So all of these things are true. All of these things are accurate that Greg Sankey is saying. It's simply the preservation of the national model of college football that's at stake here. Do I think that he is serious in these threats? Probably not. I think he's leveraging. I think he's negotiating. I think he's trying to get the absolute best position possible for the SEC. But the thing about it is that he's a fairly savvy negotiator. He knows that he's got the power. He knows that they're the top dog. And he knows that, honestly, and I hate to say this, but it's the truth, the NCAA, the other conferences, and the CFP, they need the SEC and the Big Ten more than the SEC and the Big Ten need them.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate that that's the reality. That's the truth. That's the truth. And so Greg Sankey is positioning and lobbying for the best position possible for his conference and then for the Big Ten after that. I just think it's really interesting that he is publicly saying, and he said it in an interview yesterday, that he's got people in his ear wanting to know why they're even part of the NCAA. The solution to this? Well, first off, I think that the new model of seeding for the college football playoff, that should solidify things, at least for the time being. But I promise you one thing. This is not going to stop.
No. There's always going to be some school
or conference.
Yeah, that has a lot of wins and is going to not be part of the 16 team.
You know, right now it's the straight seeding where you've got the SEC and the Big Ten, and they're going to get more automatic qualifiers than the other conferences. That's all well and good, and that's what we're probably headed towards. That's where we're going. But what happens in 2 or 3 years when the SEC and the Big Ten say, you know what, rather than us getting 4 automatic qualifiers, I think we need 6 automatic qualifiers apiece. And then we're doing this again. And then a couple of years after that, you know what, we feel like we need 8 automatic qualifiers apiece. And then, you know what, from there, we just need the entire CFP. Like, let's shut out the Big Ten. Let's shut out the ACC. Let's shut out the Mountain West. And, like, I don't think
they want to go to March Madness of 64 playoff teams.
I mean, I think that that's, and I don't know how you prevent that from happening, because you've got the power in these two conferences and they can sort of throw their weight around and dictate what they want to do. And the alternative, if the NCAA, if the CFP, and if the other conferences don't acquiesce to their demands, then they could absolutely leave. They could walk away and they have the resources to do it. They could put it together and there would be a network to follow them. And what you're looking at then is you're looking at the dismantling of college football nationally. You would have a ton of people regionally in the southeastern part of the country and in Texas and in Oklahoma that would be way into college football. You would have the Big Ten way into college football. And then you would have everybody else. And I'm not saying that schools like Kansas State or Kansas or others wouldn't be popular. I think they absolutely would regionally. But there would be no national attention on the Big 12 schools, on the ACC schools. And with that, you get less money in network rights deals. You get less money in donations, less NIL. You don't get the top players anymore. You're not even able to compete with the SEC and the Big Ten with players because they're all going to go there.
Schools can anyway. You don't see Rutgers, you know, Syracuse and those schools back east vying for the top.
And so, again, I don't know what the long-term solution is to keep this sort of thing from happening. You've got the SEC and the Big Ten. They know they've got the power. They know they're the big dogs in the room, and they're going to fight for exactly what they want. And if they don't get what they want, Greg Sankey is on record as of yesterday saying, why are we even in the NCAA? Like, he's saying the quiet part out loud. Why are we even doing this? And if this sort of thing is not solidified, and if there isn't some kind of resolution that moves college athletics forward permanently to where the SEC and the Big Ten cannot try to change things a couple of years into it, we might be on the fast track of having more regionalized college football. I don't want that. I think anybody who likes the Big 12 would want that, because you're going to get lower quality players. You're going to get lower quality coaches. You're going to get fewer eyeballs on your product. And then everybody's going to be paying attention to schools in the SEC and the Big Ten for, you know, the actual national champions. I think that all this is going to do, if Greg Sankey wants to throw his weight around and actually follow through, which I don't think he will, but if he actually follows through, then we're just going to see just a major segmentation of college football from a regional perspective. And that's not what we want to see.
Yeah, because you don't want to destroy the smaller schools, right, or the lesser programs just to...
Now, an alternative could be that all the conferences come together and say, you know what, I think we're done with the NCAA. Like, let's all work together and try to figure out a more equitable solution that doesn't involve this governing body. Let's govern ourselves. Let's figure out a way to make this happen. I don't know. It's interesting.
Talked about a commissioner?
Yeah, they have. So we're a long ways away from this getting settled and done, and Greg Sankey is talking about why they're even in the NCAA.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Caster, Max Power producing the program. It is time for our weekly chat with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, talking all things K-State. Fitz, good morning, my friend. How are you?
I like that you have Max on video.
Well, I know.
I get to see what Max looks like. Max,
the camera is not my friend.
He fought me the entire way. So it's been Max and I this morning. We've been going back and forth all morning long because Jacob is out. And I told him, I'm like, Max, if you're going to do the show with me, we've got to have you on camera. And he fought me tooth and nail, but we got it done.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. He's got a lot of damn hair, man.
He's got more hair than I do. And I'm like 40 years younger than him. So
that's ridiculous.
I know. It's unfortunate.
Hey, I got a good story for you real quick.
Yeah.
So we've had some, this is true, by the way, we've had some neighborhood squirrels that are beefing. So you go out at night, you can hear them, and it's a ruckus and trees are shaking. My dog went out to pee and just brought in a dead squirrel.
Holy cow.
A fresh dead squirrel, too, if you want it. It's probably still good for the eating.
I was going to ask you how Daphne and Dude felt about the,
Granny,
the squirrel
clamp
fight.
It.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's wild. Well, you know, I guess one squirrel clearly won the fight last night.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
we
man.
Have a winner.
Let's talk about winning a fight, though, in regards to K-State. They get P.J. Haggerty. That's wild. That was not on my radar at all. I don't know how quickly this came together for Kansas State. Do you have insight and background on how all this took place?
No, I don't as of now. I will, because I'm fascinated by it, because when we all saw the initial report from a website none of us had really heard of, we're kind of trained to assume it's fake. And I think the consensus among a lot of people was that there was no real contact. I seriously thought it was the Haggerty representatives trying to run up the price on NC State, because everything indicated he was going to NC State. And then it didn't. And I think I was right. I think there was a leak to try to run up the price, and that was Auburn, which came in late but never came in. They made it very clear they're not pursuing him. In case it ended up with him, which is a great ad. Don't ask me the price, because I've heard a number of different numbers, and this really helps the team, though. You know, we can argue if it's worth it or not, but it's look, that's just the realm we live in now. You're going to pay a lot of money for players.
Yeah, I don't mean this at all as a knock on K-State whatsoever, because it's a wonderful addition for the Wildcats. But I can't imagine that for P.J. Haggerty that this offseason has gone the way that he wanted it to go, where his ultimate end goal was to end up at Kansas State. And again, not a knock on K-State at all.
No.
But the fact that, you know, and I had read reports that he was looking for $4 to $5 million in NIL money and didn't get it, didn't get the draft feedback that he wanted, and then ultimately ends up with Jerome Tang and the Wildcats. I can't imagine that that was the strategy for him from day one when he entered the portal.
No, and you know, and we've got some mixed messages on whether or not what kind of money he got. I know it's been reported nationally that he got 2 to 2.5. I've been told that he was a little bit closer to 4 with all the incentives and everything. But, you know, I've been on a journey with this whole NIL money thing. I remember being appalled by $400,000 for Nigel Pack, and then last year, $2 million for Coleman Hawkins. And now I've just kind of come to the point, like, well, if these guys or girls want to spend this kind of money, you know, it's not my money. It's not K-State's money. It's donor money. And if this is what they want to do with it, well, so be it. That's nothing we can control, that this is their choosing. So, yeah. Okay, if you want to pay $2.5 to $4 million for a player for probably 1 year, he's got 2 years of eligibility, but probably go to the NBA after the season, so be it. Do it. Go for it.
Well, and even not knowing the exact dollar amount, I mean, I think that generally speaking, this probably should tell us that Kansas State is in a pretty solid position with NIL money. I mean, being able to pay Haggerty what he wants, and he's not the only one, right? I mean, obviously, Kostic, the Serbian transfer coming in and getting money that way too. I mean, like, to me, it would seem like the coffers have to be relatively full for Kansas State if they're able to give out the money that these guys are looking for.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question, because that is a topic for a daily delivery video I need to do. It strikes me that there's a core group of wealthy donors, and it's not very many, who are my age or around my age, either on either side.
So 29?
Their early 30s, that have a tie, that remember attended either as an adult or, you know, as a college student or as a child, which I was, the glory days of K-State basketball. They caught the very end of it. For 50 years, K-State basketball was, you know, just a national power. I mean, they were in Final Fours. Yeah. And then it just, you know, honestly, with the building of Brantwood Coliseum, it disappeared. It's something that my generation wants back. And apparently there's a group of people that are willing to put the money up to try to make it happen, to try to get K-State basketball back on the national scene, which is, as I said, where it was for 50 years. And then right as ESPN's showing up and the whole game changes in terms of how we view blue bloods of college basketball, they built Brandwood Coliseum and it all just kind of dissipates. And it's been really disappointing for the older generation.
From a basketball perspective, Fitz, we know Haggerty's scoring propensity. We know how successful he's been in getting points. And I know, you know, just that simply put is a huge benefit to Jerome Tang and to the Wildcats. How do you think his addition fits with the way this roster is shaping up?
Really good. They needed an alpha score, and he's clearly that. And that's what I've been telling people that have been, you know, unimpressed with some of the other transfer portal additions. And I don't mean that they're bad players. It's like, you're not going to win in the Big 12 with those guys as your lead guy. And I've been telling them they have to get an alpha score. And now everyone is looking at the roster and the kind of players they brought in, position-wise, it's not great right now, but talent-wise, it's incredible. They still probably need a true point, and they probably still need a true big that can run. But with the addition of these veteran coaches that are coming onto the staff, I think we're going to see them get up and down the court, and
B.J. Haggerty fits that to a T. He's absolutely perfect. If they're going to go fast, that's what he likes to do.
That's fascinating, and I can't wait to get more information as to how he ended up with the Wildcats. He's got such a big-time scoring ability, and that's a huge get for the Wildcats going into this season. With the time we've got left, Fitz, I want to chat with you about one of your favorite people on the planet, and that's Greg Sankey. And it's been an interesting couple of days talking about the world of college football, college athletics, the CFP changing the way that they're going to be doing seeding moving forward and all of that. What I thought, and this is kind of where I want to start, I thought it was wild in his interview, I believe it was yesterday, when he said the quiet part out loud, where he said he's got people in his ear asking why the SEC is even in the NCAA. And clearly these conversations have been going on for quite some time. But the fact that it's just out in the open now is crazy to me.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. He said the quiet part out loud, because now the pushback, the firestorm he's facing is going to get ugly. And here's where I'm at right now. I think the ACC and Big 12, the commissioners need to go to the Big Ten and say, is this really what you want? You want to destroy college football? You want to be part of that? And try to peel the Big Ten off, because I get a sense this is mostly SEC driven. This is like the Big Ten's their friend. They're trying to talk them into jumping off the bridge with them.
Yeah.
And then call the bluff of the SEC and say, okay, go play your own games. It's going to be the Southeastern version of the Canadian Football League for most fans. If we're not in the southeastern part of the country, we're not going to watch this. If we're not a fan of one of your teams, we're not going to watch this. We don't have any association with this. None of our teams will ever play you. So I think this is I think we're coming to a very important moment in this discussion. And Greg Sankey is digging in. He's embraced being the villain. I've embraced him being the villain. And I think we're going to see some movement this summer on this. Or at least it's going to be fiery all summer long, which is great, because trying to do sports, college sports in the summer, you need realignment. You need people beefing. I'm going to have to cover squirrel fights here pretty soon if it calms down.
I do think, to your point, I mean, the Big Ten is the key chess piece in all of this, because, you know, like if I'm Tony Petitti, I'm like, look, I'm going to let Greg Sankey be the bad guy in all of this, and I'm going to keep my mouth shut and let him take the bullets. And then, you know, depending on which deal is better or how where the chips end up falling, we'll go in whatever direction is going to be best for us. I think that's a really smart strategic move.
Yeah, and they are laying back right now. And, you know, at some point, I think a lot of fans have been displeased with, you know, ESPN as a TV entity and how they handle stuff. But this is going to come to a head. If ESPN's playing a role in destroying college football as we know it, there's going to be a backlash. And it's going to be I think they're totally underestimating what is going to happen if they try to make this move.
Well, yeah, and like let's be really honest. And I mentioned this in our last segment when we were talking about this. You know, if the worst case scenario happens and the SEC and the Big Ten decide to break away, there would absolutely be a network, ESPN, Fox, maybe somebody else, that would pay money to televise an SEC Big Ten championship. Like that absolutely would be the case. And both of those conferences have the financial resources to do something like this. But is it the right thing for the nationalization of college football? It absolutely is not.
No. And again, they would get pretty good ratings. They would get much better ratings than the Big 12 ACC championship.
Right.
If there was such a thing. But all the Big 12 ACC people, we would have no reason to watch those games.
Exactly.
And that's the calculation I think ESPN's completely missing here. They just think the viewership numbers are going to drag along, even if, you know, Kansas State and Kansas and anyone else will never have an opportunity to play a Southeastern Conference team, that we'll still watch those games. Because why? It's the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everyone wants to watch the SEC. It's just not true.
Yeah,
not true at all.
You're totally right. It's going to be a wild summer, and we'll continue to follow it. Fitz, we're up against it. We appreciate your time, and go enjoy that dead squirrel carcass.
Yeah, I got that out of the house already. Max, great to see that head of hair.
Good to talk to you, Tim.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for a Thursday edition of Sports Daily. Appreciate Tim Fitzgerald joining us to talk PJ Haggerty, joining the Wildcats, and what could happen in the world of college football. If you missed any of that conversation, you can go back and listen to it anytime on the free Odyssey app. A normal day of programming on the network today, since the Royals have an off day. Rich Eisen follows us at 11, the Jim Rome Show at 2, JR Sport Brief at 5. Of course, we've got NBA Finals and NBA Playoffs, that is, with the Pacers a chance to go to the NBA Finals. We've got that tonight. We've also got NHL playoffs continuing tonight as well. Tomorrow on the program, Jacob is back. Jalen Thompson joins us to talk about the Royals series this weekend against the Tigers and a bunch more. We'll see you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.